you're hoped for. And the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the ground of things which are hoped for. And the evidence of things not seen. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is. And is that He is a rewarder of them that seek Him. Faith is the ground of things which are hoped for. And the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the ground of things which are hoped for. And the evidence of things not seen. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is. And is that He is a rewarder of them that seek Him. I am crucified with Christ, but I live. Yet not I anymore, but Christ liveth in me. And in that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who hath loved me and hath given Himself for me. Hey. Faith is the ground of things which are hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. Through faith, for many subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained the promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Of weak who made strong, waxed valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. The women received the dead raised to life, others also were wrapped and would not be delivered, that they might receive a better resurrection. And others have been tried by mocking and scourging, yeah, moreover by bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were hewn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered up and down in sheepskins and in goat skins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Whom the world was not worthy of, them who wandered in wilderness, especially in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And these all through faith obtained good report and received not the promise. Hey! Faith is the ground of things which are hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen.
And the princes are assembled together against the Lord and against His Christ. Let us break their bands and cast their cards on us. But he that dwelleth in the heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision, and shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure, saying, even I have set my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the ends of the earth for thy possession.
Roger Sherman, signer of the Declaration of Independence, said, "Sad will be the day when the American people forget their traditions and their history, and no longer remember that the country that they love, the institutions they say that they cherish, and the freedom they hope to preserve were born from the throes of armed resistance to tyranny and nursed in the rugged arms of fearless men. America would be spared a thousand evils if its people would lay the axe to the root of the tree. When we fail to do this, we give permission to the branches, the airs, which only begin to thrust out the truth which it works against. This is the responsibility of the Protestants, and it is the modern-day Protestant that believes what is not taught in the Bible. They practice ordinances that are not based off of scriptural authority. Away with the commandments of men, and down with the traditions that make void the laws of God." Charles Spurgeon.
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Christian ethic has provided the principles on which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker. Boat rocker.
And good day, America. Welcome, Christians, conservatives, constitutionalists, liberals, libertarians, communists, Islamists, LGBTQRS, TV, WXYZ people, all the boat rockers in the house, and anybody else I may have missed, to the Sons of Liberty radio show, where we use the Bible and the Constitution, not to see who's on the right or the left, but who is on the straight and narrow. I'm your host, Tim Brown, coming to you live from the U.S. occupied state of South Carolina, the editor at sonsoflibertymedia.com, and for Muslim friends, I'm the infidel that Allah warned you about. I hold to the book, the Bible, as the authoritative word of God. Glad that you guys have joined us this afternoon. If you'd like to check us out online, please do so. sonsoflibertyradio.com. Also, sonsoflibertymedia.com. But if you're listening by way of the radio and you want to watch the video portion of the radio show, head over to sonsoflibertymedia.com. There we've got two videos at the top of the page. The one on the right side is the show from this morning. Click on the play button, blow it up whatever device you... Or excuse me. Yeah, you can do that. But you can catch that up until 6 in the morning, at which time we'll be live, and we've got some special guests coming on. Some of you guys, I think you're going to be a little bit surprised, and hopefully it'll be an informative show for you in the morning, Lord willing, 6 a.m., bright and early. Don't miss that then. Left side of the page is where we're at. If you're seeing it on the video, I don't know why. Sometimes it's the same browser. I put the video plug in. It's coming up. Reboot the computer to get everything set, and it goes back to the same old thing. So I don't know what caused it to do that. I just don't know. But anyway, it should be right when you go there. Press the play button, blow it up whatever device you got. Look for the Rumble icon. It'll be in the bottom right-hand corner of that video. Click on that. That'll take you over into the chat where we've got some friends over there this afternoon. Good afternoon, guys. Good to see you. And while you're there, please subscribe to that channel at Sons of Liberty Radio Live. Sons of Liberty Radio Live on Rumble. We're also on beforeitsnews.com, top of the page there. DLive.tv, also good afternoon to you guys. And for those of you on the radio who are tuned in and you're saying, where's Bradley at? Well, Bradley and his family are out in California, and they are doing some recordings there. So hopefully you're going to have some new music. My understanding is Stephanie's doing some songs. So you're probably going to get that at church. And I don't know, you might get it during the week, but you'll definitely get it at church on Sundays once those are ready. So be in prayer for them as or with them as they're doing these things. And Bradley should be back a week from yesterday. So next Wednesday, he'll be back. So I'll be with you the rest of the week, Sunday for church, Lord willing, and then Monday and Tuesday in the afternoons as well. And I enjoyed being with you guys and everything, but it does get kind of taxing. I get up an hour early, so I'm up at 4 now.
And sometimes I have to have a nap right after lunch, because lunch is about 8 hours, right? That you're going, I have to have like a short nap just to get refueled there. But boy, I'm really enjoying being with you guys in the afternoon. And before we get into what we're talking about today, I'm going to show you something I came across today. And I'm not going to play the, and I don't know how to blow this thing up any bigger than what, oh, maybe that does it. Hang on just a second. Let me just see if that, no, that's not going to do it. That's something else. Okay, so what I want to do is I'm going to show you guys on the video platform, you'll see this, you guys on the radio or not, but I want you to see this video. Now, when you first see it, it's going to be like, why are you showing us this guy acting the way he's acting? Because of what happens to him. Because there's a transformation. This guy... seems to me be, and he's not talking in it, but he has written something there. I believe it's in Spanish. It may be Italian. I'm not sure. But I have it translated. I'm going to give it to you once you see this, because this is some good news as far as I'm concerned. I think we might can blow this up. It's kind of weird. Okay. Well, I'm just going to play it out of here. You'll see it. Here it is. And then I'll read the end part of what goes on, but you guys will see the transformation that takes place. This guy was giving himself to indulgence. It appears that he was probably part of the LGBTQ, RSDV, WXYZ people, was just a guy who overindulged in drink and food and all kinds of stuff like that. You see it in here, and then you see the transformation that takes place. Take a look at this. Take a look at this guy. Now, I know you're looking and you're going, what's wrong with this guy? What's going on with him? And you see that, you know, he was experiencing health problems. He obviously had a mental problem for the things he's doing. Okay. And then you see a different man. You see a completely different man. Here he is being baptized. And running races. And it's, let me read what's written here, because I don't know if that's, if it is, if it's Spanish or if it's Italian. Let me read what it says. Only Jesus can make the impossible happen. I look at myself today and can only say one thing. It was God. No human effort could explain it. No course, no formula, no shortcut. It was surrender. It was renunciation. It was faith. It was the Holy Spirit pulling me back to life when I no longer saw a way out. Jesus took me from the bottom, lifted me from the dust, cleansed me inside, and everything that seemed impossible to human eyes, he made a point of showing that it was possible through his hands. Today I live to glorify that name. And if you still doubt what God can do, look at my life, because I am the living proof that with Jesus, the impossible becomes possible. Watching that guy there, what a testimony. We should rejoice, shouldn't we? If the angels are rejoicing over one sinner that repents, what do you think they're doing over this guy? Yep. Yep. I can tell you this. I see the guy giving himself to the scriptures, and I see a transformation of a guy just in these short videos. And he's got several of them where he shows the transformation and what he is today. Praise God for that. You know what? The Bible talks about that. We're going to get on the other side and we'll get to this big, beautiful bill, the ugly truth behind it, after the break here. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com, SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. Hang on, we'll be right back.
Wisconsin Christian News, a 48-page national news before. Hard-hitting commentaries, politically incorrect, vital news and information you can't get anywhere else. Get a free sample copy. Email rob@wisconsinchristiannews.com and mention the name Bradley Dean. Caution, side effects of this newspaper for liberals and evangelifish include, but are not limited to, uncontrolled fits of rage, weeping and wailing, and the urge to curl up in a fetal position in a safe space in your mama's basement.
Hello, friends. This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio.com. Did you know that George Barna's research group recently found that after surveying pastors from across the country, that less than 10% of them preach out against the issues that they know that they should address? And when we look at the said representatives in the halls of government, well, need I say any more? Are we as a nation ready to take responsibility for righting the wrongs? Join us Friday, March 21st at 6 p.m. at Jack's House Bowl. Hope to see you there.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
Hey there, this is award-winning international journalist Alex Newman. We live in a world dominated by fake news, lies, manipulation, and it's just out of control, folks. Our country is in big trouble. Our churches, our families, we need honest journalism today more than ever. And that's why I founded Liberty Sentinel Media. I hope you'll visit us today at libertysentinel.org, where you'll get access to exclusive content exposing threats to our faith, family, and freedom while equipping you to fight back. Go to libertysentinel.org today.
Peter Marshall, chaplain of the United States Senate from 1902 to 1949, he said, "The choice before us is plain, Christ or chaos, conviction or compromise, discipline or disintegration. I am rather tired of hearing about our rights and privileges as American citizens. The time has come, it now is, when we ought to hear about the duties and responsibilities of our citizenship. America's future depends upon her accepting and demonstrating God's government." Abraham Lincoln was right when he said, "In regards to this great book, the Bible, I have but to say it is the best gift God has given to man. All the Savior gave to the world was communicated through this book. But for it, we could not know right from wrong. All things most desirable for man's welfare, here and hereafter, are found portrayed in it."
Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty. Yeah, let me just throw this in. I'm reading some of the chat, and yeah, I think a healthy skepticism is always in order. Somebody mentioned the Apostle Paul when he was converted. The church was skeptical over. Wait a minute, this guy is the guy who was killing us. He's imprisoning us. Are you sure he's been converted? I'm with you. Okay, I'm with you. But I look at it and I look back over his timeline, and he has these recurring themes of this is what the Lord did. He did it in my life. And I was just going to remind people, because I know some people have a hard time sometimes when we use certain words, when we use words like sodomite or sodomy, or some people get so offended at that. And yet it's a biblical term. And people were delivered out of that kind of sin. Don't believe me? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. There you'll see. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind," that has to do with sodomites, "nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners." All those are lumped in. If you're an adulterer, guess what? You have no inheritance in the kingdom of God any more than a sodomite. If you're a drunkard, if you're a reviler, if you're an extortioner, if you're an idolater, if you're fornicator,
you don't have any inheritance either. It's not just one guy that had one sin that's really bad, and those are the people that's really... No. All sin falls under that. And then Paul writes, he says, you shall inherit the kingdom of God. They shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. How many of you out there fall into one of those categories that were there? I know I fall into a couple of them. I was that. That's what I was. But I was washed. I was sanctified. It wasn't because I was good, that's for sure. And I was justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. There is hope for people who are sinners. There's hope for you. No matter what the sin is, no matter what's drug you down or how low you've been dragged, there's hope for you in Christ Jesus. But there's not hope outside of Him. There's not hope outside of Him. And so I just wanted to share that with you. I thought, wow, this is a dramatic change in this guy's life, and it's been some time, so it's not like it's just, you know, just occurred. There's been dramatic change in his life, and he's attributing it to Christ. I think that's a good thing. I think that's a good thing. And I will encourage that until there's some evidence that it's not what it is. So I'll encourage that. But I thought, you know, in the world we live in, you see so much, and then you see people who've been, I don't think they're trying to deceive themselves. I think many of them are being pulled in a direction where they could get the Word of God, and somebody does not give them the true gospel that calls them to repent of their sin. They just kind of tack Jesus on to their sin. They do what Paul says, and they, you know, they're like the person who offers themselves to the harlot. And as they offer themselves to the harlot, they are quote unquote joining Christ with a harlot. And Paul says, you don't do stuff like that. And people are being led astray. They're not being converted. They're not being discipled. They're being sugar-coated to remain in their sin, not to change their, not to have their lives changed, not to bear the fruit of the Spirit, not to be converted and to leave sin off and put the Lord Jesus Christ on. They're being encouraged to just kind of, you know, live their life with a little bit of Jesus on. You know, put your Jesus shirt on, maybe your Jesus hat, you know, say Jesus a couple of times, and you're okay. That's, the Bible doesn't know anything about that kind of conversion, because that's not conversion. You're still dead in your sin. And anyway, just wanted to throw that out. I just thought it was good news. Okay, this big, beautiful bill. I'm going to use some video here from a couple of congressmen to kind of help you understand this. Now, this is almost—it's almost with every bill we get now. We get omnibus bills. They get slapped with things that don't have anything to do with each other. They aren't related to each other at all, and they just throw a bunch of junk in there and say, "Well, if you don't vote for this, well, you must be against this." Like the big beautiful bill. It's got, you know, some border security stuff in there, and it's got, you know, some tax cuts for a couple of years. But it's got a whole bunch of debt loaded into it. And for this administration to say, well, we're not having deficit spending, that's just nonsense. Every Congress for the last, I don't know how many years, it is engaging in deficit spending. Every one of them. They don't have the money to cover what they're spending. I think this one was, the numbers were up to, what was it, $7 or $8 trillion? It was ridiculous. It's like 7.9 trillion or something like that. This is what it's going to end up being. And then, but we're not having deficit spending. Now, you understand the difference. I know I'm talking with a smart crowd, but you understand the difference of deficit and debt, right? The deficit is what they're spending more than what they're taking in here. And the debt is added on as they don't have money to cover any of that. Guess what happens every fiscal year? They have to go and borrow money. By definition, they're spending more than they're taking in. In fact, you're going to hear in just a minute from Congressman Massey that very shortly, we're going to be paying $1.5 trillion a year just to pay interest on the debt we have. Just to pay that's $4,000 a person. is what he said it came out to. And he was saying in a family of four, that's 16 grand, but they're going to give you a whopping $1,600 tax credit. See the three-card Monty, see the shell game they do with you, the bait and switch. That's what they're doing. In my family, what would it be? Well, if everybody was still in the home, but counting all my children and my wife and myself, what would that be? That'd be almost as much as I make in a year that we have in debt from one bill, the debt that we've got. But yet it's being pushed at that. Congressman Ron Paul wrote about this this week. And here's just a couple of lines that he had. President Trump has dubbed this the big, beautiful bill, kind of like the big, beautiful wall that really didn't get erected, did it? The bill also has new cuts, including repealing federal taxes on tips and overtime. But understand something. It's only for 3 years, 2025 to 2028. After that, all bets are off. Okay? The bill offsets the lost revenue from the cuts by making some cost-saving reforms in domestic welfare programs, most notably Medicaid and food stamps. I don't have a problem with getting rid of all the goodies. Because it's not in our Constitution to do. However, it increases spending in other areas, most notably military spending. According to the Committee for Responsible Federal Budget, the big, beautiful bill would increase the national debt by at least $3.3 trillion over 10 years. Did you get that? How are you not adding deficit spending? how do you not have deficit spending if you're going to be adding more debt? How does that work? It doesn't. This number is likely to rise because several moderate Republicans are threatening to vote against the bill unless the Medicaid and food stamps reforms are limited or dropped. And of course, Paul's argument is they need to leave off a lot of the military spending. If you guys remember, it was Reagan. He was trying to build up things in order that the Soviet Union would spend themselves into bankruptcy. They were the ones building up all the military stuff, and they went bankrupt. We're doing the same thing. This is Soviet-style stuff. Up until Donald Trump came in, did you ever see us have a military parade just for the sake of a military parade? I mean, we had them when we had victories in the past. Well, we had that. He's talking about doing another one. How many millions of dollars does that cost? That's what Soviets do. That's not what Americans are supposed to do. We have parades when there's a victory, not just for the sake of showing off military hardware. What's interesting is Paul points this out. The debt that caused Moody's and other credit rating agencies to lower the U.S. government's credit rating is because of spending, not tax cuts. Congress should be giving the people more tax cuts and offsetting them with deep cuts in military spending. Amen. That's exactly right. Cutting spending wasted on a futile pursuit of a global empire is not just a fiscal necessity. It is also the best thing Congress can do to promote peace and prosperity. They should be doing that. That's exactly right. Ron Paul, I wish he was still back in Congress, don't you? SonsOfLibertyMedia.com, SonsOfLibertyRadio.com. We're going to hit this right when we come back. Hang on.
Have you ever listened to someone speak and have felt completely captivated, basically unable to look away and hanging on every word? The kind of speaker whose passion, knowledge drives and stirs something deep within you? Making your heart race and your mind question everything you thought you knew? Well, if so, you're in for a wild ride. This show isn't for the faint of heart. It's actually for the bold, the thinkers, the patriots, and the truth seekers who care to face these uncomfortable realities. Welcome to Sons of Liberty Radio with Bradley Dean. It's a show that will challenge you, awaken you, and make you see the whole world in a new way. Bradley is a force of nature, uncompromising, fearless. He's ready to rock the boat. It's time to tune in to find out why this program is shaking up the airwaves and sparking conversations everywhere. Don't miss out. Visit bbsradio.com/Sons of Liberty Radio and discover why Bradley Dean is a true boat rocker.
Martin Luther King Jr. rightly stated that I must admit, America, that I was initially disappointed in being so categorized as an extremist. But as I continued to think about the matter, I gradually gained a bit of satisfaction from being an extremist. Was not Abraham Lincoln an extremist? This nation cannot survive half slave and half free. Was not Thomas Jefferson an extremist? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. So the question is not whether we will be extremists, but what kind of an extremist we will be. We will be extremists for the preservation of injustice, or will we be extremists for the cause of justice? He goes on and says, history will record that the greatest tragedy of this period of social transition was not the strident clamor of the bad people, but the appalling silence of the good people.
So you want to make a difference, but you don't know where to start. You've been listening to the Sons of Liberty radio show and keep thinking to yourself, there are so many others who need to hear this message too, but you don't know quite how to reach them. Well, then this is the perfect time for you to stop thinking and start doing. Why not schedule an event in your community with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty? It's easier than you probably think, and the impact can literally be life-changing for those who attend. We all have loved ones, neighbors, and those around us that need to not only hear the truth, but be moved to action to do something about the problems that we face and make a difference in their own lives and communities. So don't wait. If you want to learn more on how to schedule an event with Bradley Dean near you, then give us a call at 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747 and start making a difference in your world today.
BBSradio.com.
A republic versus a democracy? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We are a constitutional republic. We are not a democracy. E. Stanley Jones said, grace binds you with far stronger cords than the cords of duty or obligation can bind you. Grace is free, but once you once take it, you are bound forever to the giver and bound to catch the spirit of the giver. Grace makes you gracious. The giver makes you give.
Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty. I'm reading some of the comments in there. Suzanne, you're exactly right. That's kind of what we were going to get on here is, you know, this bill is like 1,600 pages. All these bills that are trouble that they tout as so great, the Patriot Act, the Freedom Act, the Obamacare, all this stuff that they promote to us as something great for us. It's another form of tyranny is what it is. Now, two congressmen are actually calling this bill out for what it is. Now, they'll tell you, yeah, there's good things in it. This is what I was saying before the break. There's some good things in it that, yeah, okay, it's the federal government's purview to do. And there are things in it that are just wasteful spending. And that's where the problem comes in. It's not with the things that are constitutional. It's for the things that are unconstitutional or just exorbitant spending in a certain area. And so what should be being done is shortened bills to where you're dealing with, you know, one particular issue. Because all of us know ain't none of these guys sitting around reading a 1,600-page bill. In fact, I question whether their staffers are reading 1,600 pages, doing all of the back and forth they have to do with the law to say, we're going to change this, we're going to change that word and the other. They're not going to do that. So there's been two guys that have come up. One is Thomas Massie. The other one is Ron Johnson.
And this this is what Thomas Massie said. I mean, it's just great. This was, I think, one of his tweets here. This isn't complicated. Separate the bills and vote on them individually. One vote on the clean CR, one vote on the debt limit, one vote on disaster relief, one vote on farm bailouts. Radical, right? Individual bills for each issue. Yeah, that's not hard. That's not hard. And then everybody can see what's in the bill without having to go through 1,600 pages. They can go through a small amount of pages. By the way, this is the this is the United States House Committee on Ways and Means, the One Big Beautiful Bill breakdown. Now, I just want to show you this just so you guys get an idea of it. This is the index for a, this is just a 47-page PDF. That's all it is, 47 pages. Look how much stuff is in this. Let me just scroll through. That's the first page. That's the second page. This is the third page, fourth page, 5 pages out of 47, excuse me, that are the index that's telling you what all they're covering in this big, beautiful bill. And it's big. It's just not that beautiful. But this is what they have. I'll have this for you if you guys want to look it up. You can see they do break it down where you can understand some of these things are just for a couple of years. And you're going to hear this from Thomas Massie in just a second. Ron Johnson also wrote about this for the Wall Street Journal, but he also put it on his Senate website here, The Ugly Truth About the Big Beautiful Bill. And he points out all of these. He points out, he kind of teaches you what they do when they're talking about this 10 years that's out there, how much this is going to cost us, you know, what's going to be the ramifications stuff. But they, you get into the nitty gritty if you want to go to this, excuse me, this House and Ways or the Ways and Means Committee, this breakdown that they have for this bill. If you go through it, you can kind of see each little section from what years these things are for, if they're tax deduction or something like that. All of the no tips. Remember, no taxes on tips, no taxes on overtime. That's only for 3 years, guys. That's not for 10. It's only for 3. And you're going to hear some of that in a little bit. Now, I'm going to take extended. I was going to play some of Ron Johnson here. He's got a short video. Actually, I'll play both of them. We may go over just a little bit, okay? This is Ron Johnson. He's on Fox News Business. And again, he's going to kind of lay some of this out as to what's going on.
Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson joins me now. Mr. Senator, you wrote in the Wall Street Journal, quoting now, "The ugly truth about the big, beautiful bill. You want more spending cuts. Can you tell us specifically where you want those spending cuts to take effect?"
Yeah, throughout the more than 2,000 lines in the federal budget, which we never scrutinize. I've laid out a number of pre-pandemic spending options going back to Clinton in 1998, Obama 2014, Trump 2019, and leave Social Security, Medicare, and interest alone. You take those actual total expenditures, increase them by population and inflation, you'd end up spending somewhere between $5.5 and $6.5 trillion. This year we're spending over $7 trillion. So that's a huge gap. Doge and Elon Musk have shown us how to do this. You have to look specifically, line by line. We're just not willing to take the time or do the work.
Do we have the time?
So, I mean, we have to do that.
Do we have the time to go through all these pages line by line? Surely that's talking months, isn't it?
Put a lot of people on it, okay? Yes, we have time. Listen, I've always been for a multiple-step process. I think it's a mistake to do one big, beautiful bill. So we're actually going to add to the deficit. I mean, I would think the first goal of a budget reconciliation process by Republicans would be to don't make the problem worse. My calculations, we're going to actually increase the deficit. We're going to go from $37 trillion in debt to over $60 trillion in debt over the next 10 years. It's completely unsustainable. So we've got to get this under control, but give the president the border funding, extend current tax law, take an automatic tax increase off the table, make sure we don't default on our debt. We could have already had that done. But now we're into this very complex, very difficult negotiation on one big, beautiful bill. It's just not getting the job done. I, again, I ran in 2010 because we were mortgaging our children's future. We were $14 trillion in debt. Now we're $37 trillion in debt. And Republicans aren't fixing the problem. We're exacerbating it. That's unacceptable.
Can you see yourself voting for this big, beautiful bill at all?
Not in the current structure, no. Yeah, I refuse to vote for something that's going to actually increase the deficits, exacerbate the problem from the current situation. Again, we shouldn't be talking about this right now. We should have been doing all the work, like you say, multi-step process. We'd already have the border funding. We'd have defense. We'd have $850 billion of real savings banked already. Plus, we could have extended current tax law, taken tax rate increase off the table. We could have had all that done, but unfortunately, decisions were made to do one big, beautiful bill. It's not beautiful. I'm sorry. It's not a big, beautiful bill. That's called rhetoric.
There's one thing that really stood out. I'm sorry to interrupt you. So I just got limited time. But there's one thing that really stood out to me when I saw some of the proposals. The requirement, the work requirements for Medicaid don't kick in until 2029. What's with
Precisely.
That? What's with that?
Again, this is a game they play. They get a score. Again, this is like Whitby. I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. You know, we're going to cut spending 10 years when I'm not even in Congress. You know, again, that's the problem. This is not serious. It's exacerbating the problem. It's not solving it. I've got a great video on my X page. All our Republican leaders saying we don't have a revenue problem. We have a spending problem. And this bill is primarily about tax cuts. We can't afford to cut taxes when we're running over $2 trillion a year deficits for the next 10 years, as far as the eye can see.
Okay, I got to
look. You hear that? $2 trillion deficits. $2 trillion deficit spending. That's just crazy. And that's on top of the 36 point whatever trillion dollars. I mean, you and I cannot even fathom what that kind of money looks like. I really need to find that article I did years ago where we took and there was a picture of pallets, and it showed how much $1 trillion was on pallets. And then they took and they showed us at the time, I forget what it was. It was right at 20 trillion or so. I think this was coming out of the Obama era. And it was just this long warehouse full of these pallets of money. It was just, you try to visualize that in reality, and it's just almost impossible. We will never get out of this debt unless somebody is willing to cut stuff, a bunch of stuff that's unconstitutional that we've been spending money on. And I know a lot of people really thought, boy, we're going into that golden age, right? That Donald Trump talked, because all of this stuff to save, right? Right? All this stuff. Even the guys who are serious about it, I don't think maybe they're even up for going as much as needs to be happening. And I just give you this instance, and then I want to take you over to an interview with Thomas Massie on this, because he breaks it down, kind of what's going on. And I like that. It means he understands what they're actually doing. And he shows you and he helps you understand what's going on there. And he's against it as well, and for the same kind of reasons. But years ago, I think it was in 2012, when Ron Paul last ran, he was the only guy who submitted a budget out of all of the people running for the presidency. He was the only guy, except for there was a guy out in New Mexico. Gary Johnson, was that the guy's name? He was a libertarian fella. Him and Gary Johnson were the only people that submitted budgets that actually reduced the national debt. It actually reduced it. The only guys. All the front runners were piling on more debt. And I want to remind you that when you read Deuteronomy 28, what is one of the curses that befalls the people when they turn away from the living God and they won't obey his commands? That's right, debt. They become the borrower instead of the lender. And the foreigners come in and they become the lenders and the natives become the borrowers. That's what's going on. This is all part. It's not just men. This is God working his judgment in among people who won't obey his commands. We need serious repentance from the Lord. We really do. Sons of Liberty Radio.com.
sonsoflibertymedia.com. Hang on, final segment coming up.
Content Christian Media Conference is hosting a one-day event on Monday, February 24th at Prestonwood Baptist Church in Plano, Texas. It's one amazing day of fellowship, networking, screenings, panels, and inspirational keynotes. There'll be breakouts on filmmaking, storytelling, writing, distribution, and more, with lunch included. It's perfectly timed, just before the start of NRB.
Register at ChristianMediaConference.com.
This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, broadcasting live Monday through Friday at 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, as well as Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m. Founded back in 2004, BBS Radio TV stands as a trailblazer in remotely engineered broadcasts over the internet. BBS ignited the new media revolution, offering a powerful platform for vital voices such as ours and alternative perspectives that mainstream media often silences. The Sons of Liberty's BBS live broadcasts spans into 46 countries and streams into 200 of the world's largest internet broadcast stations, with on-demand syndication across all major social networks and podcast platforms. The visionary twin brothers Douglas and Donald Newsom crafted over 100,000 radio and web TV episodes for more than 1,000 satisfied clients. BBSradio.com.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
Per your request, if you're looking for unique and creative ways to spread the gospel and give people the gift of truth in a way it'll be received, then check out the Sons of Liberty Radio.com. There's something there for everybody in your life: books, DVDs, t-shirts, coffee mugs, even graphic novels, dog tags, and more. Young or old, you're sure to find the perfect gift of truth. Again, go to the Sons of Liberty Radio.com and check out our store today.
BBSRadio.com.
The annual Wisconsin Christian News Ministry Conference is set for April 4 and 5 in Wausau, Wisconsin. Learn more and get your tickets today at WisconsinChristianNews.com.
Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty. Final segment, and we may go over for a few minutes today because this is, I think there's two little sections of this interview that I wanted to play. And this is going to be Thomas Massey, but this is from the YouTube channel for Redacted. And they just kind of let him lay it out as to what's going on, why he's opposed, all these kinds of things. But they set it up before the interview, showing what it is and what, you know, what kind of stuff that he's dealing with there. But here's the thing. I don't trust really any of these guys. But if there's a couple of guys that I at least think, okay, these are some guys that have a track record that you can at least sort of look to when they say something, they know what they're talking about because their vote has reflected that. Thomas Massey is one of those guys to me. I'm just telling you, he's one of those guys. You can look at his record, and yeah, he's got a couple of questionable votes in there with some things, but overall, it's like Constitution didn't give us authority there. We're not doing that. It's bad for the American people. We're not doing that. I'm not voting for it. So here it is, and he's going to kind of explain some of these things, and maybe I'll pop in at different moments to make some comments, but just listen to what he has to say. I think the people need to hear this kind of straight talk about what's going on here with this particular bill. Take a listen.
Congressman Thomas Massie has never forgotten his conservative values, even in the face of immense pressure from rhinos and neocons. Massie tweeted this: "The big, beautiful bill will add $20 trillion of federal debt over 10 years. And that's according to the authors of the bill." Massie also posted this meme showing exactly how MAGA folks feel about it. MAGA staring at one beautiful bill, with no more omnibus bills being the old girlfriend on the right. That sums it up perfectly. Congressman Thomas Massie joins us today from Washington, D.C. Congressman, great to see you. How bad will this be for the United States of America, this spending bill?
It's going to be bad, and we're already seeing what's going to happen. There was an auction on 20-year Treasury bonds here in the last few hours, and the federal government's now going to have to pay 5.1% on 20-year debt. The day before, it was at 5% for 30-year debt and 4.5% for 10-year debt. Look, the only reason we're already not swimming in interest payments right now that would equal $4,000 for every man, woman, and child in the United States every day is because some of our debt is locked in to the old rates, you know, the good old days where we had 2%. But this is, the markets are responding to the big, beautiful bill. Look, they're not going to wait for this thing to pass. They're watching the whip count. They know this thing is greased and it's about to go get through Congress. And so they're putting their money where their bets are. They're making their bets. And what we have the Republicans telling other Republicans here is, oh, this thing is deficit neutral. Well, guess what's going to happen in the big, beautiful bill? All of the things that cost money, that increase the deficit, happen in the first 5 years, and the savings come in the next 5 years. Let me give you an example. Work requirements for Medicaid, those don't kick in for several years. And even when they do, they're pretty much fake. You can get out of work by saying you're taking some kind of training. Let me give you another example. All the Green New Deal, which was relabeled the Inflation Reduction Act, a lot of those subsidies are still going to remain after the big, beautiful bill passes. It should have been T-ball, what? Just to knock the ball off the tee, just to take out the Green New Deal subsidies. But no, there's so many corporate lobbyists up here who have started planning to build factories and in some cases started building factories. They want their subsidies to continue. So what the Republicans are doing in the big, beautiful bill is they're cutting subsidy. They're cutting the tax credits and subsidies if you want to buy solar panels and put them on your house, but they're not cutting them for the corporations if they want to buy solar panels. Or if you want to solar panels on your house, you can get the tax credit. You just can't own the solar panels. You got to go get them through a company. It's bad tax policy. And the worst of the tax policy is the handout to the blue state governors, New York, California, and Illinois. This is something called SALT tax. I got to give Trump credit. In 2017, the original Tax Cut and Jobs Act, which had the tax cuts that the big, beautiful bill would extend, and I'm in favor of extending those tax cuts. But that tax plan in 2017 reduced the amount of local taxes that you could write off on your federal taxes to $10,000. Well, this bill is going to undo the best tax policy that Trump put in place back then by raising that deduction to $40,000. This is for people who own $1 million or $2 million houses in New York, and they're paying a lot of property tax. This big, beautiful bill is a handout, and it's going to cost everybody else in the red states where the governors don't raise the taxes. It's going to cost about $350 billion to give that handout to these blue states.
All right. So you hear what he's saying here. You hear it's going to cost all this money, and then you're going to lose these kinds of things here. It's because they're messing with stuff they shouldn't be messing with. You know, our Constitution, I don't know why it wasn't a little more specific, like some fencing put up around Congress has the power to tax or to take on debt for the United States. There should have been some kind of something in there that kind of encased that and said, yeah, well, we're gonna do that. You can do it as long as the people approve of it. Now, The states are so far in with the federal government getting quote unquote federal money. It's just kind of goofy to even call it that. It's money that the feds take from us for if you allow them to take it out of your check, they take it out of your check before you even get it. In essence, it's a theft. It really is. And they go and they're doing God knows what with it because half the time they don't seem to know what to do with it. I mean, you just got through with all this Doge stuff. They don't even know where some of the money went. Trillions of it. They don't even know where it went. Dead people getting it. Getting money. All this stuff. Foreign entities getting the money. And nobody's accountable. This is one thing that you got to keep your eye on. And I'm going to let Massey continue here a second. You got to keep your eye on the fact that nobody's ever held accountable. No justice is brought. All these people are let go. They're fired. They're retired. They're bought out. None of them are prosecuted. None of them. And we're not talking about, you know, somebody didn't account for $5 and 10 cents. We're not talking about that. We're talking about hundreds of thousands, millions, billions, trillions of dollars they can't find. And nobody's held accountable for it. Nobody. Nobody's still held accountable for the DOD losing the $2 point something trillion that they announced the day before 9/11. Nobody's held accountable for that. Where's the justice? It's the one thing being left off. It's the one thing that, you know, God told us to seek after first. Seek justice, love mercy, walk humbly with your God, right? It's the one thing being left off.
Goodness. Okay, so I'm very suspicious about the timing about this because we all got collectively riled up about Doge, like, oh, they're cutting that, they're cutting that. I like this. Okay, feels good, right? And so it feels like we were built up to think, okay, now the government has saved all kinds of money. Now we can spend on priorities. And Elon Musk, he's done. He's got Tesla to worry about. He's gone. He's going to step back. Does it feel like a ruse to you? Because it was like we saved $5 and now here's a new $10,000 credit card bill.
Yeah, you know, it started feeling like a ruse to me back when Republicans, and they got the president to go along with this, put a continuing resolution on the floor. And basically, that's when you do an appropriations bill. But instead of writing 12 separate bills, you just say, you know what? Let's just do what we did last year. We'll cut, copy, paste that spreadsheet into this year's spreadsheet.
Are you hearing this?
Last year's spreadsheet was Joe Biden's spending.
Are you hearing it?
They copied all of Joe Biden's spending into Trump's first year with that continuing resolution. I was the only Republican to vote against it because I said spending is policy. When you spend the money, those are you're directing the government to do things. And so the only consolation I had, Natalie, was, well, we could do rescissions. We could say we're going to spend this money and we could pass a law to spend this money, but we could go back and claw that money back with this process called rescissions that only requires 51 votes in the Senate. Here's the problem. We haven't done any rescissions. And by the way, rescissions aren't like the big, beautiful bill, which is another R word called reconciliation. You can only do that once or maybe twice a year. You can do reconciliation. Rescissions, we could vote on a rescission every day if we wanted to, but we haven't brought the first rescission to the floor.
Okay. All right. We're going to play just a little bit more from Massey, give some closing comments, just a few minutes. If you want to catch that, that's on our Rumble channel, Sons of Liberty Radio Live, or sonsoflibertymedia.com. I'll see you guys, Lord willing, 6 a.m. Adios. Okay, want to welcome anybody who's coming over from the radio. Let me turn this off so we don't get go through another one of those. there's just a few more minutes I want to play. Actually, I got to tell you, there's like 13 more minutes where they have with Massey, and I listened and I was just like, man, he's just exposing it. He knows what they're doing with the bill and he's just exposing it all down the line as to what it does. So he does know his stuff and he's been there several years. He knows it. Boy, I was noticing in this interview, he's really looking aged on there. He really is. He's put up with a lot. He doesn't have that boyish face anymore that he once did. And you can tell that being up there, it It wears on people. It wears on people. But let's listen to a little more of Thomas Massey. I'll close it off. I'll put the entire interview for those who are interested in hearing everything, but just a couple more minutes of Massey, and then we'll close out the show. Listen to what he has to say.
Now, Speaker Johnson is blaming the White House. They're doing this quietly. And he's saying, well, they haven't requested the rescissions and we're waiting for the request. And it's true enough, he needs a request. But I kind of think he's telling the White House, don't send me the request, because that starts a 45-day clock where I have to vote on these rescissions. And that, you know, when we dig into this, when we ask people at the White House what's really going on, they say, well, we're trying to get past the big, beautiful bill, and then we'll do the rescissions, because we don't want to spend any political capital on these rescissions now. Well, what's the political capital you're spending? Cutting USAID? Again, that should be T-ball. Put it on the tee, knock it off with a bat, run to first base, and jump up and down. It should be that easy.
It should be that easy. People in the chat room are pointing out, and by the way, ask your questions of Congressman Massey. We're live in front of thousands of people right now. Goalapico says, you guys are, meaning us, I think, not you, you're mischaracterizing Doge. Musk did good. Republicans didn't want to cut the costs. So it's the do-nothing Republicans. Is that fair?
Oh, that's fair. I mean, it's not the do-nothing Republicans. For the money that Doge found was money that Republicans were spending. So when I was standing at the State of the Union, and the president, you know, Elon Musk, I'm a big fan. I drive a Tesla, all that. I use Starlink. You know, he was in the crowd. He was up there in the position of honor, and the president's naming some of the things that Doge had already found and that they were going to cut. And my colleagues stand up and start clapping. And I'm thinking, wait, you're the chairs of the committee of jurisdiction that spent this money, and you are clapping. That you should be embarrassed. You should like pull your suit up over your head and pretend you're not even there, because this is shame. And it was all a ruse. They don't want to vote on that. As I think there's some reporters that have exposed how some of this USAID money actually that goes to NGOs starts flowing back to organizations where you have members of the House and the Senate who are on the boards of these organizations. It's starting to expose things. And so my hat's off to Elon Musk and all the Doge folks who found that. But what you have is when Trump tries not to spend the money that Doge found, the courts say, well, wait, you've already signed a law that says you're going to spend the money. And so the courts tie up Trump. And this would be a problem if we didn't control the House and the Senate, or if it took 60 votes in the Senate to claw this money back. But neither of those two things are true. It only takes 51 votes in the Senate. And we control the House and the Senate. We should be doing these as frequently as we name post offices up here.
No, okay, I think now, the rest of us are...
Let me pause this, and I'm going to jump ahead from where she's talking here, because I think he does move over a little bit. I want to make sure that I get ahead just a little bit. But, you know, it's interesting how He's saying the things that you hear every voting cycle, isn't it? Isn't this what they told you last time? And isn't this what they told you the time before that? And isn't this what they told you the time before? This is the most important election in your lifetime. Everyone is like that now. It's kind of like the Chicken Little thing. And it's worn out. And what's Massey saying? We can, you know, this party, the Republican Party, that they claim, they say with their mouth, that therefore smaller government and therefore upholding the Constitution and therefore, you know, liberty and therefore all this kind of stuff, the rhetoric, that's what Massey was mentioning. They're all for the rhetoric. But it's what they do that's something else. We can go to James chapter 2. You say I have faith. Let me see your faith, what you're saying that you've got by your works. You say you're for smaller government. Why are you $2 trillion? You're going to be $2 trillion in deficit spending in the year. That's not smaller government. You're for getting rid of waste and extravagant spending, but you're going $2 trillion in deficit spending. We're for the Constitution, but we'll vote on laws that we have no authority to be voting on in the first place. pick them, education, gun laws, knock yourself out with whatever. Massey's talking about money going to NGOs, non-governmental organizations. That's what those are. Just where did we authorize sending money to non-governmental organizations? But where did we authorize giving money to nonprofits? That's got to be the stupidest thing you could do. Unless you're a corrupt congressman who's getting some kickbacks from getting that money over to people. It's still pretty stupid. The people should be holding them accountable. And Massey's one saying the first way you hold them accountable is you don't let them spend the money. You don't pass the bills. And what does he get for it? He gets attacked by the president. He gets attacked because he's saying, President Trump, you can't keep doing this. Let me tell you what he's, I think he does mention it near the end of this interview. This is what they're doing. And it doesn't matter if it's Trump. It didn't matter if it was Biden. It didn't matter if it was Obama or whoever. They are overloading the system. They are spending like drunken sailors. No offense to drunken sailors. But they are spending like crazy. Tax and spend. That's what they do. They do not understand. They do not know how to say, no, we cannot compromise on spending money on things we're not authorized to spend. Many of them don't even know what they're authorized to spend on or not authorized to spend, to write legislation on. I'm convinced many members of Congress don't know what Article 1 is. They don't know the handful of things. It's less than two dozen, by the way. So it's, what, a couple of hands full. They don't even know. Many of them, you could probably ask, can you tell us the Bill of Rights? This is something I've said you ought to do anyway. Have a little fun with it. Go to one of these rallies where one of these guys show up. Take your young person in the home that you've trained. You've given them some understanding of the Constitution, the Bible, and all this. Take them there. Ask the person asking for the vote if he can just name the first four amendments, if he can recite them. Just the first four amendments. Okay? And then have your young person stand up and recite all 10, the Bill of Rights. And then point out to everybody, my son or my daughter, whoever it is, I'd say men. I'd say you push the men to the forefront. Have them do it and say, my son is more qualified, even though he's not of age yet. He's more qualified to be in that office than you are. At least he knows what he's not supposed to do. He's not supposed to infringe on the rights of the people. That's something that needs to be done. This is the rest of Thomas Massey. I think I might be jumping in here just a tad early. Let me see if I can back it up just a hair. I think this will pick it up. Hang on.
To do?
Well, you know, he came after me again yesterday on his way to the GOP meeting. He stopped at a media scrum and they asked him, what about Thomas Massey's claims that you're adding to the deficit? And rather than answer the question, he attacked me. Which is fine. He's a bull in a china shop. And if a few of my, glasses and cups and dishes get broken, that's fine. I can deal with that. I've got a thick skin. But he came to the GOP meeting. He asked if I was in the room and I raised my hand and looked him in the eye. And he said, oh, hey, there he is. There's Massey. And he said he's like Rand Paul. They're both from Kentucky. They both vote no on all this stuff. And they both have the same hair. And then he said, but I like Massey's hair better.
Okay.
It wasn't like a shouting match.
I'm gonna pause him there and I'm gonna close things out. I'm gonna let you guys watch the rest of it. There's about 10 more minutes of it, and it does have some good information. But I played that little section right there so that you understand. Listen how he's even talking about it. He kind of blows it off that, Trump went and attacked him. He's like, the thing is still on the table. It's still what it is. You're not going to change my mind because you threaten me or attack me or make jokes about me or any of the other. That to me is a guy who's comfortable in his position. He doesn't have to attack back. He just says, this is the way it is. So I hold that to there. But this is money that's going to be more debt. Do we really need $1 trillion going to the Department of Defense that worked with Bill Gates on some of those shots? Do we really need a trillion dollar military budget going to the DOD that wants to work with Bill Gates to block out the sun and spray stuff in the air? Do we really want $1 trillion, you know, a year fund to the military so we can engage in all kinds of other unconstitutional skirmishes and wars around the world? Is that really what? And that's just one of the things that's being funded. Is that what we want to do? Do we want to keep raising the debt ceiling? If you're like me, you're a person looking to get rid of any debt you have. If it's a little or if it's a lot, you want out from under it. It is a curse. It is an albatross around your neck. It is. Anything that you owe money on, it becomes that. You're a slave to it. Sorry, you are. Doesn't matter if it's a house, doesn't matter if it's a car, doesn't matter if it's a credit card, whatever it is. If you owe money, you're a slave to that. What you're hearing from these guys is they want to enslave us further. We're already $36 trillion in debt. Never going to pay it. Never going to pay it back. We're just not going to do it. We don't have the mindset to do it. I want to tell you, I believe it's the judgment of God. There's no other way to explain when you turn from what his standards are, from what his precepts are, from what the principles and his law is laid out. When you turn from that, you're going to get the consequences of it. Every time you're going to get them. And I'll speak very honestly about it because it's an issue of repentance for me. Not spending money beyond where we're at. To get ourselves out of debt, to not be enslaved to it. And yet, here at the federal government level, what are they saying? Nope, let's just go ahead and put you in. We'll put you in more slavery. All that debt's going on you. Donald Trump's going to shuffle off the scene shortly. He's pretty much set up. What about me and you? What about our fellow Americans? And the whole class warfare that goes on in some of this. Oh well, you know, I was looking at this the House and Ways Committee report there on that. What was interesting was is when you look down through it, it starts showing you. In fact, this is one of the first things. This is the tax rate bracket. The more you make, the more you pay. Does that sound right? That sounds unfair, doesn't it? Especially considering that many of the people who go in the upper tax brackets utilize a lot of tax breaks. That's how they're written in there, where the guys, you know, some of these guys that make lots and lots of money don't pay very much tax. That's not equal. The law is not being applied equally to everybody, is it? If you make more money, you should pay a higher percentage. Well, wait a minute. If you had one percentage, and I'm not saying you should be sticking it on people anyway, I think direct taxation is a threat to life, liberty, and your property. I know it is that. Because if you don't pay it, they're going to come take your stuff. They're going to throw you in jail. They're going to fine you. That's what they do. I think man's government, everywhere it's erected, it becomes corrupt and it becomes a threat to the people. Everywhere it's erected. And the only government that is pure and incorruptible is the government under King Jesus. That's it. But the people have to submit to that. And it looks to me like most people are just like Israel. Give us a king like the nations around us. Give us somebody that looks like everybody else around us. We want them to be a little different, but we want it to work basically the same way. That's how most people's mindset is. Let us be just like the other nations. And God will give you what you want, man. If that's what you want, he'll give it to you. So you learn a lesson, or hopefully learn a lesson. I don't know if we've learned our lesson. Somebody was mentioned in the Articles of Confederation. That'd be great. You'd get rid of all this nonsense right quick. You'd get rid of the nonsense. We wouldn't have a WWE match to be telling you about each day. We wouldn't be telling you about all of this crazy stuff that we get ourselves involved in. It wouldn't exist. But until the people get it in the mind to govern themselves, because they're supposed to be the government, and eliminate the very beast that's about to destroy them and their children, we're going to keep going down this road. We're going to keep going down this road. Thank God there's some people who will at least stand up and call it out for what it is and say, we really shouldn't go down here. This is dangerous. This is harmful to the people. It's unconstitutional too. I'm glad there's some people who will still stand up, especially in that town. The District of Criminals, man, you can disappear. You can get suicided real quick, can't you? So I'm grateful that God still has some people there who will raise their voice and point out the corruption and seek to do what's right. Not just point at it, but seek to do what's right. I pray that God will continue to give voices to men like Thomas Massie and even Ron Johnson over things like this and other things as well. And hopefully I hope the Lord will grant repentance to all these people. If the Bible says that he can turn the heart of the king wherever he will, and Nebuchadnezzar declared that no man could say, what have you done? You know, they can thwart his will somehow in what he's accomplishing in the earth. They're wasting their time. Oh, that God would grant his church repentance first, and then those who are our representatives in our various governments, that he would give them repentance. Because if he doesn't, I'm going to tell you what, we're in trouble if we can't muster up the courage to say, this is really bad. We got to end this and start from scratch or something to correct the problem. Because we're in it. It's not knee deep. It's not eyeball deep. $36 trillion is, you're buried in it. You're buried in debt. And the Church of Jesus Christ needs real repentance that comes only from the Lord. Let's pray to that end. And let's continue to stand, to occupy, to hold fast to those things that we've been taught. I'll see you guys, Lord willing, 6 a.m., bright and early in the morning. Talk to you then.